Well, thanks, guys. Good morning, Hope Church. Good morning, Hope at Home. Hey, every last Sunday of the month, we partake in communion together. And so I just want you to know that today, you know, that's a little more challenging to do during these times, but we have the communion elements right out there in the foyer for you to take on your way out. And at home, just be prepared at the end of service. We're going to do communion together, so you might want to get some elements ready there. Today, we're going to start a new series, and it's a series on relationships. And you know, we are in a time when we are becoming increasingly more and more disconnected in person, right? Anyone experience that last year and a half? How do we connect the dots again, right? So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to talk about some things that will take our relationships to the next level. And I think it's going to be really exciting. The other thing we're doing here at Hope Church is on Wednesday nights, right? Currently, we're going through the Bible in 1 year. And you can still jump in. Even if you haven't started, just jump in. Join the rest of us. The last time I checked, I think there was about 37 people in it. We'd love to have you in, making comments, reading the Word together. It's so important, and if you download the Hope Church app, you can get to it that way. You'll see a link. And if you go to our website, you can just click on the reading plan, and we'll get you in, and you can be a part of that. And just start tomorrow, because in this plan, you get weekends off. How cool is that? I love that plan. All right, but you know, what we've been discovering together as we've gone through this plan, this is what we've been discovering. There's a mountain of drama in the Bible. A mountain. I mean, chapter after chapter, page after page, they're filled with conflict between people, right? There's families and relatives, right? And mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and uncles and tribes of people. And it just goes on and on. So the Bible is a great resource for you and I to learn about relationships. It really is. And here's something that's true, okay? Wherever we find people, we find problems. Right? Anyone have problems at work? At home? Anywhere else? We find problems. In fact, every problem in the Bible is actually a problem with relationship. If you think about it. Now, relationships are the most important thing we will ever navigate in our lives. And if you think about it, you have a lot of different relationships in your life. Some of these are really good. Some of these probably are not so good. I don't think that there's any relationship that doesn't matter. But I do think that there are some that really matter. Would you agree with that? So as we start this series, what I want to do today is one, I want to take a look at God's intent for having relationships. Secondly, I want to talk about how the enemy attacks our relationships. And then lastly, I want to take a look at adding godly wisdom to our relationships. Okay, so that's what we're going to do today. First thing, God's intent for relationships. One of the very first things we find out as soon as you crack open the Bible, okay, is that God created people to work together in a relationship with Him. And right up front, in the opening pages, we find out that relationship is the key component in creation for making it all work. Relationships. And I think it's important for us to understand that God's intent for our lives was to have relationships. And just to get a little refreshed on the story, some of the stuff we've been doing on Wednesday nights, you know, God first made everything, right? And what did He say? He said, it was all good. Right here it is from Genesis 1, 31. It says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. You know, we didn't have to do anything to make it good because it was already perfect. But to give us an idea of just how important relationships are, all right, the Bible says that God looked at the man and said, you know what? It's not so good. It's not so good for him to be alone. And so he made this perfect complement for him. He made the woman. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. I love my woman that God made. She's incredible. And, you know, God made a whole bunch of stuff, didn't he? It goes through the list. He made all kinds of stuff. I mean, he made the heavens. He made the earth, right? He talks about he made light. He made the sky. He made plants, trees. He made fish and so on, right? All kinds of stuff. But let me ask you a question. Did he tell us how he made the fish? No, he didn't tell us that. Did he tell us how he made a bird? Nope. Really doesn't go much into that, but he does tell us how he made the woman. This is really important. God is specific about this marvelous creation. So he gives us the details of the amazing way in which he did this. And it's to help us understand his plan. First, he made Adam from the dirt, right? And then out of Adam's side, actually taking a rib, he formed Eve. Here it is from Genesis 2. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So he made Eve. She was made from Adam. She was actually a piece of him, and they walked together in perfect relationship with God. I mean, what a strong bond. What a strong bond they must have felt. And the fact that he tells us about this special relationship and how he made the woman, it shows us his intention for creating relationships and how essential they are for success in life. I mean, what a great plan. Do you guys know what happens in a fairly short time? Everything goes incredibly bad, right? And how on earth did that happen? Well, let's talk about the enemy for a minute. Satan, our enemy, he has a laser-focused goal, all right? So we enter the serpent into the garden where Adam and Eve were, the cunning serpent who decides he's going to attack this woman using some very crafty deception, and his tactics are really kind of an interesting study because the art of his deception is completely focused on one thing, destroying relationship. Destroying relationship. Starting with man's relationship with God. And this is what he goes after, right? And it's just another clue to how important relationships are. And here is what he does. He very cleverly convinces Eve that God isn't good. God said everything was good. But Satan comes around and he convinces Eve that, no, God isn't good. Not at all. And for the first time, she experiences this doubt of God's goodness and of his character. She doubts his character and his very intention for being together. And you know, to be a Christian, this is what you have to know deep inside, all right? You have to know that God is good. You have to know that. That is fundamental to our faith. God's character doesn't change no matter what happens in this life. Amen? And if he's so good, then we can trust what he intended, which was for us to have fulfilling relationships. And you know what I think as I thought this through? I think the serpent knew the power of a strong relationship. He knows the power of strong relationships in your lives. And he also knows the devastating effects of severing those relationships. So this is what he shoots for every time. Every single time, Satan is coming after your relationships. I guarantee you that's what his plan is. Yeah, Adam and Eve sinned. And they disobeyed. And they had to leave. And that's horrible. But what Satan was really after was their relationship with God. And that same deceiver is after the same thing today. He's after your relationships. And if he can, he will destroy your relationships because that is the work of the enemy. And that is the worst kind of havoc that he could ever throw at us. And why is that? Because if he can destroy our relationships with each other, right, and get us disconnected from one another and from God, then he can leave a wake of destruction behind you. And not just in your life, but in the lives of everyone in your circles of influence. And not just in your lives, but throughout the generations of family after you. And it's crazy because not long after, you know, you just get to chapter 6 in the Bible. The whole world's wiped out. So done. It's over. The devastating effects of broken relationship. Thank God for his mercy. We're all still here, huh? Now, how is the enemy so effective? Well, we got to look at how he did this with Adam and Eve. He gets them to eat from this tree, right? And God said not to eat from. And we all know what that tree is called. Excuse me. That tree is called the tree of knowledge, right? The tree of knowledge. What's so bad about knowledge? Is there anything bad about knowledge? I mean, knowledge is a really great thing to have. I mean, these days we have more knowledge than ever before. So you might be tempted to think that we should have great relationships, right? On earth. But for some reason, there are still millions of people out there who don't seem to be any better off in life or in their relationships. But we have all this knowledge. But think about it. This is what Satan tempted them with knowledge. He tells them that, you know, basically they would be just like God if they just had enough knowledge. And what is knowledge? Knowledge is basically just the sum of everything known. Right? So if you just have enough of this stuff, you're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine. And so Adam and Eve thought, they thought knowledge would make them happy. And they got tempted into thinking that with enough knowledge, they could just carry on in their relationship without God. You see that? We can do this without God. That's the temptation. There was this other tree. This other tree in the garden, and it was called the tree of life. The tree of life. And this tree had a totally different power, right? The power of this tree, it had the power to extend life forever, to extend life eternally. And this tree could have given them what they actually wanted. This tree could have allowed the relationship between Adam and Eve to last forever. And how wonderful is that? Right? How wonderful would that be? You know, and we can see what God's original intent was for us. And it was for us to live in strong relationship together. forever. I love that plan. But let me tell you what Adam and Eve found out as they went on in life. They found out over the rest of their lives on this earth that no matter how much knowledge they came up with, no matter what they accomplished, no matter how many kids they had, or how many cities they built, or how far they spread out across the earth, the knowledge they had would never equal what the tree of life had to offer. They could never get there with knowledge. And you know what? We are still eating from that tree today, the tree of knowledge. We're still taking bites from that tree. Now, let's apply this to our relationships, okay? We can search far and wide, right, for all the information and knowledge that we want. But all the knowledge will never amount to what God can offer you in your relationship, right? He's the only one that can offer you the tree of life, the only one that will make your relationships last and be filled with what He intended them to be. No amount of knowledge can do that. And we can have all the knowledge we could ever ask for, right? We have knowledge at our fingertips, right? On our phones, right? Some of you got knowledge on your wrists. You even got the iWatch. Hold them up, hold them up. See, there's a few, I'm telling you. We got knowledge everywhere. We got knowledge in our cars, right? Pretty soon, y'all going to be driving electric cars. That's going to happen. It already is. We're all going to have a Tesla, hopefully. But there's knowledge there. I mean, knowledge is everywhere. That's my point. Let me tell you something. Listen, 5G, that's not going to fix it. 5G is not going to fix your relationships. It's probably going to be a cool thing, but it's not going to fix it. Now, if the Bible is about relationships, then it certainly must contain some good wisdom, right? Something greater than knowledge, right? Its words are lasting, right? Its words are life. Listen to Isaiah 48. It says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever." So how do we get that kind of power in our lives? Okay, this is kind of where we're heading now. How do we get that power in our lives? I love this verse from Proverbs 3:18. Listen to what it says. It says, "Wisdom is a tree of life for those who take hold of her." Wisdom is a tree of life. So if wisdom is, in fact, a tree of life, then wisdom has a similar power in our lives and a similar effect on our lives, right, that the tree in the garden had, right? Wisdom is the power to sustain relationships. And the bottom line is this: the tree of life for your relationships is godly wisdom. Does that make sense? That's where you find it, in godly wisdom. And that's where we're after. And that, right there, that's what the enemy wants to keep you away from. He wants to keep you away from it. He wants to keep you away from worship. He wants to keep you away from the Bible. He wants to keep you away from church and from godly wisdom, because he knows what can sustain your relationships in this crazy world. He's got to figure it out. Cut you off from godly wisdom. Then you're just running on knowledge. Not going to do it. Right? Now, James tells us some good stuff. James tells us what true wisdom from God looks like. Okay? Wisdom from God goes beyond just knowledge. Knowledge is about information. Wisdom is about how to apply all that knowledge and to do something good with it, right? That's what it's about. And there are definitely wrong ways to apply what we know. But here in James 3, verse 17, he talks about the way in which we relate to people. He's talking about this all throughout the book of James. And he talks a lot about the damage we leave in our relationships when we don't have wisdom, when we don't apply it. And it actually leaves us, to be honest, at a huge disadvantage when we don't seek wisdom. So let's read about what true wisdom is. James 3:17. Okay, here's what it says. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. It's gentle. It's submissive. It's full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. And I'm telling you right now, these are a tree of life. These things right here can revolutionize your relationships if you listen to them and you apply them. Now, that list right there, I mean, there's a mega unfolding we could do in that list, and we could speak on each one of these, right, for weeks to come. But I'm just going to hit briefly on each one of them, okay? And then I'm going to invite Pastor Jim up in a little bit. Let's do the first one. Wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's pure. Here's what this means. It means it's clean, all right? But it's not like dishwasher clean, right? It's more on the inside. It means free from corruption, right? As in like the corruption of the flesh. And what this is speaking about is our motives. What is your motive whenever you're in a relationship? What's your motive? Your motive for any relationship should not be driven by a selfish ambition or by an appetite of the flesh. Time out. Hold on a second. We have a problem right there. Because a lot of relationships start just like that, right? With an appetite for the flesh, right? Let me give you some advice that I just got out of James, right? If it starts that way, it's probably headed in the wrong direction. Right? You don't want your relationship to rot after a short amount of time. But that's what happens with everything that has a fleshly motive. Everything of the flesh, everything material, it all rots. It all wears out, fades away, doesn't last. It doesn't live. That's the point. You want life in that thing. You want life in your relationship. So start with the right motives in your relationships. Number two, wisdom is peace-loving. All right, when this says peace-loving, really this is talking about exactly that, all right? There's no big mystery. That you love peace as the outcome. You love peace to be the outcome. That means you're not being hostile, right? You're not hostile towards your spouse, or hostile towards people at work, or hostile towards people on the road, although that's easy to do, but you're not doing that. You love peace, right? And here's a good way to think about it. Think about it from the perspective of a king that wants to have peace in his kingdom, right? He could inflict punishment. He has the power to do this, a king, right? He could inflict punishment on those who do wrong. And he could show hostility towards his enemies, or instead, he could strive for peace. And we have to make that choice. That's the idea, that we strive for peace in our relationships. And you know what happens? A lot of times, you know, we like to do the exact opposite of that, and we provoke one another, and we kind of tick each other off a little bit. We do that, and we all know what the hot buttons are, right, for the people we're closest to. We know what those are. And we also know that if we push those hot buttons, we'll probably sabotage any chance we have of peace, right? We've all been there. So we learn to love peace. We learn to love the results of striving for peace. Amen? All right, number three. Wisdom is gentle. Wisdom from heaven is gentle. Now, the word mild, all right, mild isn't the first thing that really comes to my mind when I think of gentle, but this really has to do with the severity of our reaction, right, to someone else when we're in a conflict or something. The severity of our reaction. You will have plenty of chances in your life to come down on someone like a hurricane, all right? You're going to have a lot of those chances in your marriage, right? A lot of those chances on the road, at work, with your kids. You know, and just, and just destroy the relationship if you want to. But instead, you could actually be more like a mild or gentle breeze. You could come at it more like a gentle breeze. In other words, you could be condemning in what you say, but wisdom tells me how to gently forgive, right? Boy, that is good stuff in my relationship. I need every one of these. All right, number four, wisdom from heaven is submissive. Wisdom is submissive. In this sense of the word, it means yielding. Yielding, all right? Yield signs, you know, we go through yield signs sometimes. Yield signs are great because if no one is there, you don't need to stop. I love yield signs, right? They just simply mean stop if someone else is present and then let them go first. Let them go first. That's the same thing in our relationships. That's how you make them strong. It's the willingness to listen to someone else speak, right? To give them a turn. They got to talk too. And you got to hear them. And if you notice, you know, if you notice out there, I'm sure you have not noticed this at all, but, you know, when Facebook and Instagram and Twitter wars are going on, right? There's a lot of people that are willing to severely condemn one another. But no one is really willing to listen to the other side. You ever felt that way? Is anyone listening to me? Or am I just talking about my own opinions, right? Actually, what this is saying is that the more you listen, the more wise you are. And the less you listen, the more foolish you are. It's a good principle for life. And also, you know, another takeaway from this one, if you just keep needing to talk all the time, you just keep needing to say what you have to say, then you will never listen, and then you won't hear what you need to hear. Right? That's true. Man, I love the Bible. I love God's Word. This is good wisdom. Good advice. Okay, number five. This is so good. Wisdom is full of mercy. Wisdom from heaven is full of mercy. Now, you always have a couple of choices in your relationships. Are you going to enforce all the rules and everything you're entitled to and inflict punishment on the other person? Or can you extend mercy? Can you extend mercy? All right, someone said this, I have decided to maximize mercy in my life. I love that. That's really good. I want to maximize mercy in my life. It's actually wise to be merciful because then people, what? They'll be merciful to you. The idea of mercy, that hits really close to home for all of us because, you know, it's basically extending compassion towards someone that's already offended you. The offense already exists, right? And sometimes that's really hard, but it's wise. It's a pardon for someone that has actually done something wrong. And we all do that at different levels in our relationships. You know, and so when we become wise people, we will give people what they need, not what they deserve. Give people what they need, not what they deserve. And we all need mercy. We all need mercy. See, this is the tree of life for our relationships. This is what makes them go. This is what makes them work. This is what makes them last. All right, I think we have two more. Two more here. Wisdom from heaven is impartial. Impartial. That basically means non-biased, right? One of the biggest gripes that I have, and probably a lot of you have, about every major media outlet out there, right, is that they all tend to be biased toward a certain set of beliefs that they have or towards their own ratings, right? If they lean kind of in a biased way, right? And what that actually amounts to after a while of being that way, it kind of amounts to a thing called being prejudiced. It just does. And relationships require laying that all down and realizing that, you know, what we always want to have happen doesn't always happen. It's a tough thing. All right, let's do one more here. Wisdom from heaven is sincere. It is sincere. All right, this actually has to do with the word hypocrisy, to be honest. It has to do with the word hypocrisy, and the idea is that you're not always wearing this mask or this disguise in your relationship, right? That you don't hide things, but, you know, what we're looking for is that you're real. You got to be real in a relationship. And this is also about caring for the other person in whatever your conflict is, wherever it's at. This is about caring for them. And if you can't be real, then it shows that maybe you don't really care or you're not sincere. You're not sincere, okay? The truth is this, that if we really want to be more like God, right, that's what Adam and Eve were tempted with. If we really want to be more like him, like not like his supremacy and like becoming a god or something, but if we want to be more like his character, the real tree of life is to seek true wisdom from God's word. All right, and that is what will revolutionize your relationships. Amen? Amen. I want to invite Pastor Jim up at this time, and I also want to invite the band to come on up, and we're going to prepare for a time of communion together. You guys can get set up for that. Listen, the truth is this. God has offered us something really incredible. And in his infinite wisdom, he has offered us, once again, the opportunity for a sustained relationship with him, one that will last forever. The same thing that the tree in the garden had the power to do, he made possible by his great sacrifice.